Global South Pole, a program presented to you by Sputnik Africa. Welcome to this week's episode of Global South Pole. Today, we dive into the politicization of sports and how Western nations impose their agendas on the global sporting stage, particularly in Africa. But before we proceed with our discussion, for today's news. The African Space Agency, which is being created as part of the African Union's space policy, will be based in the Egyptian capital of Cairo, according to a decision reached among member states. African Union Commissioner for Education, Science, Technology and Innovation said. Nigeria will not take part in the UEFA Under 16 tournament, which starts on Friday, after the Spanish embassy refused to grant visas to officials and players of the Nigerian Under 15 national team. According to the federation, the special invitation to the tournament was as a result of Nigeria's vast experience in youth football, having won 5 Under 17 World Cup titles and reached the final of the FIFA Under 20 World Cup on 2 occasions. Economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa is expected to reach 3.4% in 2024 and 3.8% in 2025, up from 2.4% in 2023, the World Bank said in a new report. This is due to the normalization of global supply chains, steady decline of commodity prices, and impacts of monetary tightening and fiscal consolidation are contributing to a lower rate of inflation in the region, the organization explained. Burkinabe delegation, including the economy minister, to attend the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum in Russia, the Burkinabe envoy tells Sputnik. This is a large event hosted annually with representatives from over 130 countries across the globe. In the previous edition, which was held on June 14 to 17 last year, more than 900 contracts were signed with a total value of 3.8 trillion rubles, which is about $41 billion. Zelensky admits Ukraine will suffer defeat without the United States' support. He stated that without this support of Congress, it will be difficult for us not only to win, even to stay. This comes as foreign aid bill is currently stuck in the House of Representatives as Republicans look into other options for providing aid to Ukraine while also addressing the crisis on the US southern border. Attention listeners, you are tuned into Global South Pole. For those just joining us, welcome aboard. Today, we are excited to have with us on Global South Pole, Professor Folufelo Neswera and Professor Laid Zaglami. In the realm of international sports, where competition transcends borders and cultures, the principles of neutrality and fair play are supposed to be held in high regard. However, recent events have cast a shadow over these ideals, revealing the complications of geopolitical influences that can shape sporting events. One such event unfolded when Thomas Bach, the head of the International Olympic Committee, became embroiled in a phone call with Russian pranksters posing as an African politician. Bach was unaware of the surprising direction the conversation would take when he began to support barring African athletes from Russian Friendship Games. This shocking revelation stunned the world of international sports, prompting scrutiny and reflection on the relationship between politics and sports. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. We are happy to have you here. I'm going to start by asking you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Professor Furu Nechera, and I'm the director of the BRICS Research Institute at the Durban University of Technology in South Africa.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are, listeners of Sputnik. This is Professor Laid Zaglami from University of Algiers, Faculty of Information and Communication. I am so pleased to be on air and to join you on your program for today.
I'm going to start with you, Professor Zaglami. According to a statement made by Mr. Bach in a phone call with Russian pranksters impersonating an African politician, France and other EU members will support the boycott of the Friendship Games in Russia. The IOC's head comments seem to position Africa as a potential pawn in a larger geopolitical game. So how does this incident illustrate the West's tendency to dictate its agendas for African nations?
Well, I think, again, I feel very sorry that Olympism, which is supposed to be distanced from politics, are unfortunately well confusing. And when we mix politics and sports is about impartiality, about fairness, about honesty, about friendship, unfortunately, mixing this and that does not help the whole people in the whole world and the whole planet. That's why interfering in the game, and it happened already in so many occasions worldwide. I remember the 18th and any countries. So there are always countries which are using Olympism, which are using sports for political motivation. And again, what you are witnessing now is that unfortunately, for the next future, next week's Olympic Games that will be held in France, it's unfortunately distorting and discouraging so many countries attending from so many athletes, I would say, who have been prepared for so many years. And of course, Russia and all our members of International Olympic Committee organization, I would say, unfortunately, are disappointed, it's very bad for the sport. This situation happened already beforehand, and we understand that right now, Western countries are running a campaign against Russia because of the war in Ukraine. And they are being, when I speak about Western countries, I meant most of the countries, most of Western European Union, and of course, we don't forget USA, which have been imposing over 16,000 sanctions on Russia because of the war, of this war. I think, once again, it's a pity that we are mixing this and that. And so many people now in the whole world are asking for negotiation between Russia and Ukraine, but interference and support from France, for particularly, and this very recently, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has been so activated. He wants to even to be physically present with sending soldier on the ground. Besides the full support, material support of USA, and this make things almost in stalemate. And unfortunately, the implication and the repercussion is on the sports. And I would say the global is getting, it's already fragmented and divided on political. Here again, the sports is not an exception, and it's the whole sport community worldwide is really in disarray and disconnected, I would say, and divided.
Professor Neswera, what do you have to say about the IOC's head statement?
The comments regarding Russia's Friendship Games by Thomas Bach, the president of the IOC, are irrelevant, and I don't think anybody should take them seriously. They have no cause, no effect in the upcoming games in Russia, and they should not purport to talk for and on behalf of African countries. IOC ought to be a neutral body, an independent body, a non-political body. And I hope that Thomas Bach would be able to steer away from politics and make sure that he focuses on the integrity of the games and the participation by members of the international community.
Still with you, Professor Netswera. This development comes just a couple of weeks after the IOC reiterated its position against the politicization of sports. Judging that Russia's friendship games are politically motivated and thus violate the fundamental principles of the Olympic Charter, what's your explanation of these double standards?
Of course, institutions such as the IOC are always politically motivated. And this is so because of the representation, both at executive levels and at board. The countries that wield the most resources and power and influence automatically influences the agenda of such institutions. And the president of the IOC emerged from a third world country or another country in West Asia, I don't think he would have been swayed to say or articulate matters in the way that Thomas Bach did. So it is very obvious that Western nations, European nations, have got their own perceptions and agenda of how international institutions should operate and how other countries from the global south should just follow in the footsteps of their masters and leaders.
Back to you, Professor Zaglami. Looking beyond this specific situation, can you describe in detail some of the key mechanisms through which Western countries exert undue influence over African countries?
Well, because these games will be organized in France, So somehow France is using, some tools of manipulation and exerting some kind of power and lobbying to divide the whole sport community. That is to say, we have right now on political ground, we have to admit what is happening now in the whole world is what we call, there is now a problem between the West and the rest of the world. And this observation, this statement is completely fitted to the present situation in economic, in politic, and so forth. What we are seeing now, what we are witnessing in Gaza and so forth is a good example that the West is blindly supporting the state of Israel against Palestinian, but still European Western are supporting. So, of course, by breaching the basic rules of United Nations. So that is to say, the whole world is witnessing the biased and the one-sided attitude of the Western and the West people in and West values, West democracy is no more accepted. And of course, the rest of the world, except Western countries, are aware of this this situation of this. It's like double standard attitude, and the West want to impose that on the whole world. Does not work anymore because right now observer admitted that the West is in disarray and has lost its legitimacy, its credibility, and its power worldwide. That's why we are witnessing now the birth of new countries, new great powers like Russia, like China and so forth. And we are about the whole political system in the whole world is going under dramatic change for the emergence of multipolar system. And this multipolar system will affect the whole process in politics, in economics, and in sports. Therefore, we expect, if they continue like that, we expect to have different games in different parts of the world, like in our country, in our region, in Algeria, in the Mediterranean Sea. We have the Arab games as well as the Mediterranean games. Therefore, we expect to have African games, Olympic games. So the whole Olympic
Arabic community will be disintegrated because of political motivation.
Okay, so Professor, you mentioned the issue of double standards and other ways which countries are being treated in the international community by the West. So what steps do you think African countries can take to counter these external pressures and assert themselves on the global arena?
Well, I think Africa, by its huge population, 55 countries, future of the world in terms of raw material strategy, I would say, of course, they have their own raw material, their own human potential. And as I said to you, they have some very ambitious programs like Agenda 2063, as well as African continental free trade, and of course, African passport. I think now Africa has to speak by one voice. That's what our Minister of Foreign Affairs said very recently when they met in Africa, in Addis Ababa and elsewhere. What they did, they asked Africa now should get unified, stronger to impose its view on the world affairs. Africa has been marginalized for many times in different topics, in different sectors. And talking about sports, we have the best athletes in the world that are African. And of course, little to say about Tanzania or Kenya or Ethiopian athletes. So, I think African leaders should define their own strategy, how to impose their authority, because they have the potential. So I would say African have to impose impose their presence in their own terms according to their own interest. And of course, we in Africa, we suffered colonialism, whether from Britain, whether from, of course, Spain, France, Italy, Germany, Holland, and so forth. Time has come. We have to recover our dignity, our independence. We have to remove all the sequels of neocolonialism. The African countries have the right to decide which with whom they can partner, whether with Russia or Turkey or of course or China, as long as it's based on equal and mutual respect and mutual understanding. That's what the West should understand. They should remove from their mind this new colonialism mindset. They should. Now Africa is mature enough, and the last example is what happened in Senegal for last week with the election of a new guy, 41, 45 years old. So he's determined to safeguard and to recover its dignity and the sovereignty. That's what we want.
Professor Netswera, what is your take on this?
African countries have already started taking charge of their destination. It is very obvious looking at developments in the Sahel region, where young leaders are taking over, the statements that they are making regarding the independence of their countries, the independence of their decisions, their independence in terms of relationships with other countries at bilateral and multilateral levels. So the sway that the Western hegemon have on African countries is slowly but surely waning, and they will not be able to sustain it.
The West often criticizes athletes who use their social media networks to make political statements. But here it is the African countries that are under pressure to adopt a political stance. So how does this inconsistency undermine the IOC's claims to neutrality? So Professor Zaglami, please give us your take on this.
My friend, I think you don't have to be naive to talk about neutrality. Neutrality. There is no neutrality in the world. If there is a neutrality, it's in support of fairness, in support of justice, in support of independence. But neutrality has to be positive, has to be for your interest, not neutrality to be under pressure or to be wiped out by the other. Neutrality should be an active one, should be a positive one. And of course, Neutrality is when you are securing your own interest. That's neutrality. But overall, the term of neutrality is not well defined and abused. But I would say, of course, what does it mean for me, neutrality right now in this case of sport? Is you have to don't mix with politics. Okay, leave out the problem of the war between Russia and Ukraine. But please keep on this international event and on this game, Olympic game. So neutrality is when you have people coming from different part of the world and they come to compete on fairness, on equal basis, on equal competition. That's okay. We have to be neutral here. But when it comes, when we are mixing with one side against the other, there's no more neutrality. There is one side against the other. And therefore, we have to be very aware and conscious that some people are using neutrality just to interfere and to impose their view over the others.
Do you think the pressure exerted by the West on Africa regarding the Friendship Games undermine their overall position on the depoliticization of sports in the long run?
Well, I tell you one thing. Africa should reject utterly any pressure from the West. Africa should speak, as I said to you, as a unified continent. Why should, I mean, most of the African are, almost most of African countries are now independent. I don't see how still some countries are being under influence from European country. You should not, I said to you, as I said already, Africa has recovered its independence. Has recovered its sovereignty and independence. It's only now what happened in Western Sahara as the last colony in Africa. That's what we should fight for. We should fight for it. But overall, Africa has gained its independence, has gained its sovereignty, and of course now African Union is doing its best to unify, to consolidate, to strengthen its unity, and to speak one voice, and to be the continent which has to be to impose their view on the world affairs. We are the continent of Africa is of the future. There is the biggest continent in the world, 55 countries. So I don't see how we are still, some countries are still being affected by pressure. I think we now, African countries, should partner with, have the right, African countries have the right to partner, to collaborate, to cooperate with any country in the world that are considering them on equal base, on mutual respect. That's what we should do. I think after, we should now, as I give you example of so many places, Africa is striving to get more democracy, but in our terms, in our specificities and in our particularity, without any interference from the West. Africa has nothing to learn from Western democracy, which is in decline, and all people in the world admit that European democracy, Western democracy, is in decline, and we see that all with their biased view, with the one-sided views, and so forth. So, please, for God's sake, I think time has come that we have to remove all this neo-colonial mind from ours, and look forward to setting up relation with countries which can respect you on equal basis, like it can be Russia or, of course, Turkey or China or any country other, but as long as they respect each other and they remove from their minds this colonial and neo-colonial attitude.
Professor Netswera, I will give you the final word. Do you think these countries will impose more sanctions, and have they been effective?
It is safe to say that since the war in Ukraine, the failure of sanctions against Russia, and the recession of the European nations currently ongoing have proven that Europe and the global West have failed to contain and control economies other than their own. They failed even to grow their own economies. They've equally sabotaged their own economies. Now, sanctions that are wielded against Russia and all other nations that are supporting China, that are supporting Russia, that are deemed to be anti-West, all are failing. They are all failing. And the West is in a worse position than it was before. As President Putin has rightfully indicated when he was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, America in particular has used the dollar against other nations, making sure nobody uses the SWIFT system, making sure nobody accesses the dollar and uses the dollar. All that is coming back to haunt West, to haunt the USA.
On today's episode of Global South Pole, we had an insightful discussion with Professor Folofelo Netwera and Professor Laid Zaglami on the statement made by the president of the International Olympic Committee regarding the participation of African athletes in the Russian Friendship Games scheduled to take place in September this year. Professor Netwera emphasizes the irrelevance of Thomas Bach's remarks about the Friendship Games in Russia. He highlights the growing autonomy of African countries in shaping their destinies amidst waning Western hegemony. The professor underscores the politically motivated nature of institutions like the IOC, where power and influence wielded by certain nations can sway agendas. Professor Zaglami laments the unfortunate mixing of politics and sports, which undermines the core principles of impartiality, fairness, and friendship in the Olympics. His criticism of Western nations' involvement in the geopolitical conflicts and their attempts to control international sporting events. In these turbulent times, the global sports community must aim to be a light of hope, bridging political divides and instilling a sense of true sportsmanship and unity. Only then we can ensure that the true spirit of sports persists and that the world's athletes can compete on an equal playing field free of geopolitical restraints. As we wrap up this insightful episode, I invite you to stay tuned for our special segment, The Quote of the Episode by Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah, the first president of the Independent Republic of Ghana, was one of the most active advocates of the unification of the African continent. He considered imperialism to be the greatest danger to the peoples of Africa. In his book, Neocolonialism as the Last Stage of Imperialism, Kwame Nkrumah analyzed such methods of restoring imperialist domination in the form of neocolonialism as imposing so-called defensive agreements and opening military bases, supporting puppet governments, economic control through financial aid and loans, as well as ideological propaganda.
We have shaped a destiny for ourselves, and no one can alter the course of that destiny. It is the destiny of complete freedom for Africa, the total liberation of our continent, and its political and economic unification. We have achieved some measure of success in this struggle for human freedom and dignity. But we still have a great task ahead. We can only know the extent of our task and our own strength when we have examined and ascertained that of the enemy. Who is the enemy? Fellow freedom fighters, the enemy is imperialism. Which uses as its weapons colonialism and neocolonialism. Let us be very, very clear about this. Let us also not lose sight of the real objective, which is the liquidation of colonialism and imperialism in all its forms, political, economic, ideological, and the political unification of Africa, our dear continent. It is folly for the colonialists to think that they can hold back forever the progress of history. The process of change is inherent in the interplay of social, economic, and political forces. It is true that these can be hindered and impeded and even bent to different purposes, but not forever. However, we who are concerned with the immediacy of African independence and unity are not prepared to wait upon the evolution of history. We are determined to give history a revolutionary push. We must adopt a positive, all-out anti-colonialist, anti-imperialist attack, and this quickly, for we cannot afford the luxury of delay. Time asks for the enemy, no less than for ourselves.
Thank you for tuning in to Global South Pole. Until next time, goodbye.